أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. صلوات. Like to begin by extending tabarikat and best wishes on this very happy occasion in our calendar, the wiladat of the 8th Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza alayhi salatu wa salam. The celebration of wiladat is an expression of that concept of tawalla, or the wilayat that we have for the Prophet and his family, the love that we have for the Prophet and his family, and that is actually the meaning of the word tashayyu'. When we say tashayyu', this is defined as a group or an ideology in which the love for the Prophet and his family is the fundamental concepts. And why do we, you know, emphasize on this concept of loving the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt? Because if you look at the Shi'i theology, they actually manifest the beautiful and majestic qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not gods, but their examples reflect the Asma'i Husna, you know, Asma'i Jamal and Asma'i Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat pranayak paral. And therefore you'll see in some of the ahadith and even the ziyarat that we recite, you know, we say these words, man ahabbukum faqad ahabballah. Whoever loves you has actually loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa man i'tasama bikum faqad i'tasama billah. Whoever has sought refuge through you has actually sought refuge through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which actually manifests the sifat of Allah, you know, the beautiful and the majestic qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifested in the person of Prophet Muhammad and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. For example, in Surah Hudaybiyah, the 60th year of the Hijrah, when the Prophet concluded this treaty with the Mushrikeen of Mecca, at the end there were some Muslims around him who had kind of doubt about that treaty. So the Prophet sensed that it is important to renew the pledge of allegiance that Muslims have with me. So he asked them to do bayat again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that bay'at, that, O Muhammad, when they were doing bay'at on your hand, actually they were doing bay'at on my hand. You know, yadullah fawqa aydihim. Allah's hand was over their hand. And so the Prophet becomes manifestation of the will of God in that way. And when we look at the Imams, actually, you know, that's the same thing. Actually, there is a hadith of the Prophet where he says, تَخَلُّقُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. You know, acquire the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Addressing us, actually. Now, what does it mean? You know, we cannot acquire the qualities of divinity. We can't become Allah. You know, what it means is that the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in how he interacts with people, his own creation, his own ibad and servants. You know, see how he basically deals with them. You know, you look at this issue of providing guidance for the people, being merciful to them, to be lenient towards them, and even forgiving. All these are the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are told, تخلق بأخلاق الله, acquire the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not talking about, you know, being mushrik and something like that. No. This is more about acquiring those qualities in how Allah deals with the people and try to follow that in our own interaction with one another. Salawat pranayak paral. In order to acquire this akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I'm going to do tonight is go to a hadith of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. Where we can, you know, in a way, bring ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And this is where we talk about this concept of acquiring the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By looking at the character of Rasulullah, by looking at the character of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, when we acquire their character, follow that at our own level, then we are actually following and acquiring the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they manifest the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. There is a very beautiful hadith on this issue from the Imam where he talks about the true meaning of Iman. What does it mean to be a mu'min? And this is where he connects, you know, the truthfulness of a mu'min to three elements of akhlaq. One from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one from Rasulullah, and one from the Imam. The words that we have here is that the Imam says, لا يكون المؤمن مؤمنا حتى يكون فيه ثلاث خصال. A mu'min cannot be considered to be a true mu'min unless he has, you know, three qualities in him. And then he described, سُنَّةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. One quality from his Lord. وَسُنَّةٌ مِنْ نَبِيِّهِ. And one quality from the Nabi. وَسُنَّةٌ مِنْ وَلِيِّهِ. And one quality from the Wali and the Imam. And so this is how, you know, we are now being told to follow this command, تَخَلِّقُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. You know, acquire the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following this example of this hadith. There is one sifat, one quality of Allah that you should have, another from Rasulullah, and a third one from the Imam Ma'soom. Now, what are these qualities? Then Imam, you know, elaborates on that. He says, فَأَمَّا السُنَّةَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. The quality from his Lord that a person should acquire, فَكِتْمَانُ السِّرِّ, concealing the secrets, hiding the secrets or the hidden issues of the people that you come to know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'll come to that, you know, the two or three ayat about him. There is a very beautiful name of Allah. You know, we have 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is Sattarul Uyub. Sattar is a superlative form of satir. Satir means a cover. When we say sattar means somebody who covers or hides something. And sattar means somebody who does it very efficiently, perfectly. Sattarul uyub means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he conceals the defects of the people. And what is uyub? We are not just talking about the, you know, physical, you know, things. We are talking about the moral weaknesses of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is hidden from him. He knows what people do. You know, when we talk about this concept of shuhud and ghaib. Ghaib means something which is unseen or unknown. Shuhud means somebody which something which is apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he doesn't have ghaib. Although we say alimul ghaibi wa shahada, for him there is nothing ghaib, nothing is hidden. Everything is shuhud for him. Everything is apparent for him. And yet we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing everything about me, knowing everything about every individual, the weaknesses and the, you know, wrongdoings they might have done, nobody knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not expose these people. And this is where, you know, for example, In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. You know, do not the people know that Allah knows what they hide and what they, you know, display openly? In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 29, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ. Whether you hide your own thoughts in your hearts or you express them, يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ, Allah knows even your inner deep thoughts. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ. He knows everything which is there in the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He has power over everything. And the third ayat for this, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Allah knows the secrets of the people. Allah knows when they whisper to one another. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. He knows everything which is hidden. And yet we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expose a sinner. Imam Hussein ibn Ali in Dua Arafah. You know, he says, oh Allah, don't leave me on anyone else but you. Because anyone else, if they really know, referring to a normal human being, you know, the weaknesses that I have, they will run away from me. Whether they are my parents or brothers or siblings or relatives or friends, you know. But you have covered me. And that is the concept of Sattarul Uyub. Now, Imam Rawa alayhi salam says, for a mu'min to be a true mu'min, must have three characteristics. One from the Lord, and that is kitmanu sir, you know, to hide the defects of others that you come to know somehow. And that is not an easy thing to do. And this is where we come to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sattarul uyub, and we in our interaction with one another have to have that, you know, level of following this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of kitmanu sir, you know, hiding the defects of the people which are not known publicly. Salawat Prandi Akbarah. You know, one of the most obvious example for that is when we recite Namaz Janaza. We have five takbirat. Between the fourth and the fifth takbir, there is a dua. And it's a very short, you know, the Namaz Janaza is not really difficult to memorize, you know. I don't know why sometimes people still insist. Or why don't we have a translation so everybody can keep and read? Please go home and just memorize it. It's not a big deal. After the first takbir, you recite the shahadatain. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. And then we go on. The second one is salawat. Who doesn't remember the salawat? Third one is dua for the mu'mineen. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat. Al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Even if you don't remember the other part, that first sentence is enough. Then fourth to fifth, between the fourth and fifth takbir, we have a longer dua, and that is for the mayyit. There is a phrase. You know, we say, oh Allah, this mayyit is your servant. He's come to your prayer in your presence. And then we say, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra. Oh Allah, we don't know anything about this person except good. Now, majority don't even know what they're saying anyway. So they are forgiven. But those understand, they think, oh, Maulana, how can I say this? I knew this fellow. He was my buddy. You know? Yare ghar the. Sab kuch jante hain, good about him, bad about him. And you tell me that I stand there in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has testified that, oh Allah, I don't know him, know anything about him but good. Isn't this a lie? So sometimes, you know, doing ijtihad without proper quality, this is where you get into trouble there. You know, oh, I can't say this. Well, this is where we have been told. And the whole wisdom behind this is what? We are told, the ahadith that we have, that if a mu'min or mu'mina dies, and 40 mu'mineen stand up in the janazah, and they testify that, Allah, we don't know about this person anything but good, you know him better. And then the dua goes on. If he is a good doer, Allah increase his goodness. If he is a sinner, forgive his sins. So it's not just that one line. But we are told in the ahadith, because of that one statement of 40 mu'mineen who probably knew the mayyit, but they say, Allah, we don't know anything about him but good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, well, this fellow mu'mineen are doing satrul aib. They are concealing his defects and his, you know, weaknesses. If they do to one another, then I am sattarul uyub, therefore I'm going to forgive his sins. This becomes what we call bahana. This is one way that Allah looks for the excuse to forgive the people. 40 mu'mineen do, you know, make this statement. Allah says, okay, I forgive you. And so this is where we have to realize that when we talk about this first quality that Imam Radha alayhi salam is saying, that try to acquire this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kitmanu sirr, of concealing the hidden weaknesses of the people. This is one of the signs of iman. Salawat upon Iqbal. Then the imam, the eighth imam, goes on. He says three qualities. He said a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min unless he acquires three qualities. One from Allah, one from Rasul, one from the imam. So that was about kitman al-sir, first one. The second one, وَأَمَّا السُنَّ مِن نَبِيِّهِ. The quality that a person, a mu'min, needs to acquire and build on that from the Prophet is mudaratun nas. Mudaratun nas means to be gentle with the people when you deal with people, to be kind with the people. You know, there are so many examples. I'll just, you know, mention two of them from the life of the Prophet and one from Imam Radha alayhi salam. The Prophet, in his mission of conveying the message of Islam in Mecca, tried hard, but this success ratio of that was not that good. Mostly people were opposed to him. You know, they used bad language, labeling him. You know, the whole process of socio-political boycott was there. He even tried to go once to Ta'if, another city near Mecca. And there, actually, the elders of the city told the youths to stone him. So there was, you know, pick up stones and start hitting him until he actually, his feet were injured and he was bleeding. Even under those difficult situations, dealing with the people who are enemies, what was the dua of Rasulullah? Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people because they are ignorant, they don't know. He's still praying for their hidayat and guidance. Even if you look at the conquest of Mecca, you know, the Prophet signed the peace treaty with the mushrikeen of Mecca in the sixth year of the Hijrah. After a couple of years, when they violated one of the conditions, which was an important condition, the Prophet told them, according to treaty, you have two options. But they refused to, you know, follow any of those two. And so the Prophet said, this is the violation of the treaty. And he organized an army of 10,000 soldiers, and he marched towards Mecca. the people of Mecca realized, you know, didn't realize his strength by that time. They just, in a way, surrendered. There was no battle, and the conquest of Mecca was peaceful. The prophet gathered the people of Mecca, gave a speech, and he says to them, you knew me from my childhood. You knew my background. Yet when I brought the message, what did you do with me? The way you treated me, to the extent that you planned to kill me, I was forced to leave my own hometown and migrate to Medina. And then we had a peace treaty and you violated that. What should I do with you? It seems they have read the story of Yusuf and his brothers. They said, you know, we are like the brothers of Yusuf, and we expect Yusuf of our time to, you know, forgive us. And this is where Rasulullah, in spite of all these difficulties and problems that he faced from the people of Mecca, at the end he says, technically he could have made each one of them his own personal slaves, because there was no war. According to the Sharia law, if the Nabi is there, you know, and the conquest was peacefully, technically if he wanted, he could make them his slaves. But he says, go. اِذْحَبُوا أَنْتُمُ الطَّلَقَى. You are free slaves. You could have been my slaves, but I'm making you free, you go. And so this is where we see, you know, this concept of him being rahmatun lil alameen, that even when he is dealing with enemies, if he can find a dimension by which he can be forgiving and merciful, he does that. And so when we talk about, you know, dealing with our own people, not even enemies, this is where mudaratun nas should be very important. Especially when we are in a position of dealing with the people, you know, whether in the leadership position, you are the volunteer or whatever, when you interact with people, be kind and merciful towards them, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since this is the viladat of the eighth Imam, one example from his life. He's already now going towards Nishapur, and in one of the places, you know, in the Middle East, in the past, there were, every neighborhood would have its own bathhouse. There were no bath facilities inside the home. They would go to the bathhouse in the neighborhood. And Imam was there. Somebody came in, who was apparently part of the army of Mamun al-Rashid, a soldier. But he had not seen the Imam, didn't know the Imam. And, you know, he just assumed that he's one of the workers of the bathhouse. You know, those who help you in rubbing or cleaning your back, just like massage or things like that. So he looked at the Imam and says, you know, Ya Walad, come here. You know, give me, rub my back. Imam didn't say anything. He just picked up the brush or whatever it was. Then a couple of other people came inside and they saw, and they told him, you know, who is this person? He says, no, I thought he's working. He's a worker here. He says, he's the Wali Ahad. He is heir apparent of the Khalifa, and especially, you know, guest of the Imam going to Marv. And this is where he became very afraid. He thought, maybe now I'm in big trouble. And Imam said, don't worry. You know, you are a Muslim. You asked me for help, but I just, you know, extended my help to you. And this is where we see, even when he, there is an incident where they stopped in the caravan in a place. They put down the sufra for him, and those who were close to him, they were there, the other officers. And he says, what about these servants and the slaves that we have in our caravan with us? They said, oh, they would have their own sufra separately. He said, no. Ask them to join me and eat, you know, eat all together. So you have this example of Rasulullah. You have this example of Imam Rida alayhi salam, where he says that a true mu'min is somebody who has to acquire this sunnah, this character of Rasulullah, and that is mudaratun nas, to be kind and merciful towards the people. Salawat. You know, sometimes when I go for programs, after the program, they'll say, oh, Maulana, come inside in the office, we'll have your niyaz. You know, I said, no, I'll rather eat with the people. Unless my speech is after the niyaz and I still need to work on it while I'm eating, that's a different story. Otherwise, I'll prefer to sit down with the people and have the niyaz. Salawat panik parah. The third element of this discussion of Imam Rida alayhi salam is that you need to have that quality of kitman al-sir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quality of mudaratun nas, to be kind and merciful towards people, from Rasulullah. And then the third quality that you need to acquire from the Imam is as-sabr fil ba'sa'i wa-dharra. Sabr means patience, and what ba'sa'i wa dharra means to be patient in financial and physical stress, because stress could be of all different kinds. When we talk about sabr, many times we think, you know, sabr is basically a sign of weakness. And there are many, many ayat about it. You know, we can have a long discussion about sabr by itself, but we'll just, I'll kind of confine myself to, you know, this one remark, that sabr is not weakness. In Urdu or even Gujarati, you know, sometimes when somebody is a hopeless situation, we say, bichara kya kar sakta hai sabr ke alawa. We use the word bichara. You know, and that is the sign of weakness. And then we link that with sabr. What we don't realize, that sabr is actually not weakness. It is power and strength. To be impatient is weakness. You know, be sabra jo hota hai na, the person who doesn't have sabr, that is the sign of weakness. Sabr itself is a sign of strength from the Quranic point of view. And if you look at the Imams, they, all of them, in a very difficult situation, they have maintained their sabr. And that is something which have actually given them more power in dealing with this situation. In the ayat from Surah Sajda that I recited after the khutbah, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ties the position of imamat with sabr. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ عَيْمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Allah says, we have appointed them as the imam. They guide people according to our command. Why did we appoint them? لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. Because they had patience. So sabr becomes a basis for giving the imamat to the imams. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, patience is a very important virtue that we need to acquire from the Imam. And so this is how we connect ourselves to Allah, Rasul, and the Imam, by following and trying to build these characteristics that Imam mentioned here. And this is just one example of one quality from Allah, one quality from Rasul, one quality from the Imam. Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. Salawat. It is a, you know, wilayat event, and it is summer in Toronto now, finally, and it is the season of marriage. And so I would like to, you know, and tonight we have, mashallah, announcements of 6 engagements, unless some more has been added, I don't know about it, but there's no problem. Allahumma zid fa zid. You know, So I thought, maybe let me link these three qualities that Imam Ridha alayhi salam is saying that a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min unless he acquires a quality from Allah or an attribute from Rasulullah and a quality from the Imam. We can actually, you know, even relate this to marriage ceremony, because when we talk about, you know, our engagement announcement or the weddings also, many times we try to see if we can do it on the occasions of Ahlul Bayt. And this is where we show our loyalty to the Imam, our love for them, as well as it is a means of seeking barakat and blessings from for them on that important event that we are going through. The first quality that Imam mentioned about, you know, a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min unless, you know, he or she acquires kitmanu sir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This quality of concealing the secrets. When we talk about, you know, marriage relationship, we have to realize that husband and wife are the closest to one another. Even the parents would be a step back in knowing the person, their weaknesses, their strengths, you know, the good side and the wrong side. And this is where we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, when he talks about marriage relationship, he uses a very beautiful example, which is very simple. A person doesn't even have to be educated to even understand this concept. Well, Allah says, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna." Referring to husbands and wives, he says, you know, the wives are libas. They are garments or dress for the husbands, and the husbands are the garment for or the dress for the wives. It is very obvious. What is the purpose of libas? Of course, you would like to adorn yourself, make yourself presentable. You would like to protect your body from extremities of the weather, whether it's cold or hot. And the third important purpose of libas and dress is that you would like to conceal your, you know, physical weaknesses, whatever would that be. You use the libas for concealing that. And this aspect, when Allah says the husband is a libas for the wife and the wife is the libas for the husband, it is very much relevant to this issue of kitmanu sir. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, do not expose the weaknesses of one another. I would say to the extent that not even to your parents. You know, there was a time when people would be getting married, you know, in many cases they would go some another city or another country. You know, if there is something, you know, a slight problem happened between husband and wife, even if the wife thinks of writing to her parents, you know, there was no telephone those days. By the time she thinks about it, writes it down, the problem is over. But these days, mashallah, something happens now in half an hour. You know, video call. Even if it's no video call, nothing. Another bala these days, you know, people like to talk about their own personal life on Facebook. Oh, I didn't have a good morning today, baba. So what? Why are you letting the whole world know about it? It's not going to, you know, solve your problem. That's another, you know, bala of, you know, exposing yourself. But here we are talking about, you know, the problems between husband and wife. And of course, you know, unless it is reaches to a situation where it is, you know, a dangerous situation, violence is involved, then yes. This is where you had to get others involved in that case to resolve the problem. You know, but otherwise, you know, the husband should not, you know, expose the weakness of the wife, nor should the wife expose the weakness of the husband. They are like libas for one another. And this is something we have to realize, you know, and this is a major issue as far as, you know, the problems in the family relationship is concerned. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. ایک بار اور صلوات پڑھ دیں یو نو جسٹ لک ایٹ دی ایگزامپل آف رسول اللہ اینڈ بی بی خدیجہ وین رسول ریسیو دی فرسٹ فائیو آیات آف دا قرآن وچ واز دا بگننگ آف اسلام دیر ہی کمز ڈاؤن فرام دی ماؤنٹن فرام دی کیو آف ہرا اینڈ گوز ہوم اینڈ ہی امیجیٹلی پریزنٹس دیٹ یو نو میسج ٹو خدیجہ Khadija, for a moment, or even for a moment, did not hesitate in accepting the message of Rasulullah. What does that say? The wife knows the husband better than anyone else. This whole issue that Khadija is the first person to accept Islam is not only the fazilat of Khadija, it is actually the fazilat of Rasulullah. It shows that Rasulullah's character inside out, in the society as well as at home, was perfect. Somebody who knew him so close, who was like libas for Rasulullah, when the message is presented to her, she says labbaik right away. And this is where we have to realize, you know, that when we talk about this close the relationship, this is the most important thing in human society. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. The second point that the Imam had, that a mu'min cannot be a mu'min unless he also acquires a quality from Rasulullah, and that was mudaratun nas, to be kind, merciful towards the people. See, the problem is sometimes when you read the Quran or Hadith, you know, the way we interact with that ayat or Hadith is very different. I'm looking at the ayat of Quran, it says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, do this. Or it says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, don't do this. And I say, this is referring to the mu'mineen. But this is not referring to the mu'mineen, this is referring to you. You are the first person being addressed in this ayat. This hadith of Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that acquire a quality from Rasulullah, and that is the quality of mudaratun nas, to be gentle, to be kind, merciful, gentle to the people. Which means what? I have to be good with my friends, with those whom I have, you know, sports group, with the community, or at workplace. What about your own home? Mudaratun nas, the word nas, on a subconscious level, we minus the family members who are immediate there. And that's why you see sometimes situations where a person would be very good. You go and ask the whole community, they'll say, oh, he's the best of person. Then go and ask his wife. And you'll say, I'm being biased. It could be even the other way around. And you will get a very different report. So what is that? The issue is that we are taken in our mind, mudaratun nas means people out there. Well, this issue of mudaratun nas, to be kind to people, starts from home. You know, in Urdu we have a proverb saying, Chirag tale andhera. You know, when there was no electricity, you used a lamp or candle. And when you lit it, you'll see just immediate of that lamp or the candle is dark. The light is going further away. And this is what is happening. You know, a person could be good with everyone, but when it comes to home, the attitude changes. And this is where Imam is saying mudaratun nas is for everyone. It has to start from your home. Salawat man ikbara. Number three, Imam said that the quality which is important for a mu'min to acquire from the Imam would be as-sabr fil ba'sa'i wal-dharra, to be patient in financial and physical straits. This is even more important when it comes to marriage life. The expectation, you know, sometimes are unrealistic. Beginning stages of life would be simple. Of course, you know, it differs from a person to person. But it is very normal that sometimes, you know, people are in the beginning stage of their entering the workforce. They might not have that much of a bank balance. And so the life would be simple. So this expectation sometimes that, you know, have men and women both, of what has to be there before the marriage starts. You know, the point is that if everything is ready for you, then what is the sense of having a partner in life? Why don't you start with a simple lifestyle and help one another when you go through the early stages, even if it's a struggling situation? This is where you will appreciate one another, you will be able to help one another. And inshallah, Allah will provide for you, help you, and you will have a good life. But maybe in future, after 20 years or 25 years, things might not be same as before. You can always go back to the first example you had in the early days of marriage and say, we survived those days. We were able to go through that. We will again, you know, try and go through this difficult stage. And this is where sabr becomes very important, financial as well as physical stress that we talk about in the marriage life. And especially, you know, this whole issue of looking at the lawn of the neighbor is always green. You know, this is a big, big musibat in the in marriage problems that I hear. There is always expectation and competition. Forget about it. And I know, you know, they wouldn't like it, but sometimes I think it's more on the side of the ladies. I already talked about the men before, so I have to balance that. Why you want to compete with somebody else? Whether it's from relatives or friends around, just look at the status of your husband. You know, what he's able to provide. Try to live within the means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, if you have that sabr, with sabr will come the result at the end. Because the darkness of night will eventually end and the light of dawn will come. You know, we go through this deep winter in Toronto every time. But at the end we have, you know, flowers in the spring. And so when you go through this process of sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed help. And He says in different ayat of Quran, emphasizes this point of sabr again and again and again. Salawat on the Quran. When we talk about the Fadilat of Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, when we when we look at the shrine of Imam Ridha, it is considered to be one of the biggest shrines, at least in the Shia world, if not in the Muslim world in the Middle East. And mashallah, you know, mu'mineen from Iran and other places also, the way they pay respect to the Imam in form of the endowments which are there, dedicated for the shrine of Imam, you know, we really can say this term, Sultan of Khurasan, to the Imam. He really is the Sultan even now. You know, the blessings which come from that haram, especially when we talk about, you know, even the shafa for the people. So many incidents, and many of them have been documented properly, where people had, you know, challenges physically, you know, disease-wise, illness-wise, and the shafa was granted to them when they went for the ziyarat of Imam Ali ibn Musa radhiyallahu alayhi salatu wa salam. There's an alim who says that I'd gone to ziyarat to Mashhad, and I was entering the haram, and I saw Allama Tala Tabai rahmatullah alayhi coming out. So he stopped. You know, Allama Tala Tabai was a great alim and a man of great, you know, spirituality. So this other young alim said, you know, can you tell me what is the best way I can have my hajat and my wishes granted through the shafaat of Imam Raza alayhi salam? How should I approach him? And Allama Tabatabai said, you know, go there and ask in the name of her grandfather, her grandmother, Fatima Zahra. If you give the wasita of Fatima al-Zahra to Imam Raza alayhi salam, Imam will not reject your plea on this matter. And so, you know, remember the fadilat of the Imam and the message that I given today. Salawat parne parar. Imam ki ziyarat mein aksar hum log ek jumla padhte hain, gharibul ghuraba. مصاحبہ میں نہیں پڑھنا ہے, ہم صرف فزیکل لوکیشن کی بات کر رہے ہیں, اس لیے کہ آپ مڈل ایسٹ کے میپ کو اگر دیکھیں گے, اہل بیت کا مرکز بہرحال اسلام کے بعد مدینہ رہا ہے, اور آج حالات کی وجہ سے ائمہ جو ہے مختلف مقامات پہ گئے ہیں, لیکن جو سب سے دور گئے ہیں وہ امام رضا علیہ السلام, اور اسی لیے ان کو کہا جاتا ہے غریب الغرباء, یعنی وہ جو اپنے وطن سے بہت ہی دور تھے, غریب الوطن سمجھیے. تو یہ عنوان اپنے جگہ پہ صحیح ہے, لیکن اس لیے آپ دیکھیں کہ زیارت کا عنوان جو ہے, آپ عراق جاتے ہیں کئی زیارات ایک جگہ مل جائیں گی, مدینہ جائیں گے کئی زیارات ایک ساتھ مل جائیں گی, لیکن آپ امام رضا علیہ السلام کے لیے اسپیشلی دور جانا پڑتا ہے. اور اسی لیے ہم لوگ دیکھتے ہیں کہ امام کی زیارت کو انفیسائز کیا ہے خود ان کے والد نے, یعنی ایون بیفور ہز شہادت, امام موسیٰ کاظم علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام. اپنی ایک حدیث میں بیان فرماتے ہیں, من زار قبر ولدی علی کان له عند اللہ کسبعین حجۃ مبرورا, کہ وہ جو میرے بیٹے کی علی کی قبر کی زیارت کے لیے جائے گا, اس کو خداوند عالم 70 حج کے برابر, وہ حج جو قبول ہوا ہے, اجر و ثواب دے گا. تو راوی نے سمجھا کہ پروبلی امام, یو نو, میرے مسٹیک ان دی نمبرز, پوچھتا ہے 70 حجتن, 70 حج کے برابر ثواب ملے گا. امام نے کہا کہ بلکہ اس سے بڑھ کے 70,000 حج, 70,000 حج کے برابر کی بات ہو رہی ہے. تو یہ جو انفیسائز خود ساتویں امام نے کیا ہے, اور اس کے بعد جو ہے صلوات پڑھنے کے بارے, تو امام کی زیارت جو ہے اپنی جگہ پہ بہت ہی اہم مانی جاتی ہے, اور ہم لوگوں کے لیے امام رضا علیہ السلام کی اس زیارت گاہ کے بارے میں جو واقعات سنتے ہیں, ہم نے پیش بھی کیا ہے کبھی پہلے، آج موقع نہیں ہے اس کا، کہ یقیناً وہاں جائیں، انسان اگر دل سے دعا مانگے تو اس کی حاجات وہاں پر قبول ہوتی ہیں. خصوصاً کہا جاتا ہے کہ پہلی بار اگر آپ جائیں، تین چیزیں امام رضا علیہ السلام کے ذریعے کے پاس مانگیں تو وہ یقیناً وہ قابل قبول ہوگی. انہیں جملات کے ساتھ ہم اپنی اس محفل کو ختم کرنا چاہیں گے. خداوند عالم اس عبادت کو قبول فرمائے، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرمائے. خداوند عالم اسلام میں صلح اور امن کی فضا پیدا کر. شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ. تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.